Willem began to explain what had happened. As he gained speed, he switched to Ciaru. Kilvin kept nodding along, his face thoughtful. Simon listened intently, occasionally interjecting a word or two. I sat on a stool nearby. My mind was a whirl of confusion and half-formed questions. My throat was sore. My body was weary and full of sour adrenaline. In the middle of it all, deep in the center of my chest, a piece of me burned in anger like a forge coal fanned red and hot. All around me there was a great numbness, as if I was sealed in wax 10 inches thick. There was no Quoth, only the confusion, the anger, and the numbness wrapping him. I was like a sparrow in a storm, unable to find a safe branch to cling to, unable to control the tumbling motion of my flight. Willem was reaching the end of his explanation when Elodin entered the room without knocking or announcing himself. Willem fell silent. I spared the Master Namer half a glance, then looked back toward the shattered loot in my hand. As I turned it over in my hands, one of its sharp edges cut my finger. I blankly watched the blood well up and fall to the floor. Elodin came to stand directly in front of me, not bothering to speak to anyone else.
Quoth?
He's not right, Master,
Simon said, his voice shrill with worry.
He's gone all dumb. He won't say a thing.
While I heard the words, knew they had meaning, even knew the meanings that belonged to them, I couldn't pull any sense from them.
I think he struck his head, Willem said. He looks at you, but nothing is there. His eyes are like a dog's eyes.
Quoth, Elodin repeated. When I didn't respond or look up from my loot, he reached forward and gently tipped my chin up until I met his eye. Quoth. I blinked. He looked at me. His dark eyes steadied me somewhat, slowed the storm inside me.
I'll have said it, he said. Say it.
What?
Simon said somewhere in the distant background.
Wind?
I are left Seri,
Elodin repeated patiently, his dark eyes intent upon my face.
I are left Seri,
I said numbly. Elodin closed his eyes briefly, peacefully, as if he were trying to catch a faint strain of music wafting gently on a breeze. Unable to see his eyes, I began to drift. I looked back down toward the broken loot in my hands, but before my gaze wandered too far, he caught my chin again, tilting my face up. His eyes caught mine. The numbness faded, but the storm still turned inside my head. Then Elodin's eyes changed. He stopped looking toward me and looked into me. That is the only way I can describe it. He looked deep into me, not into my eyes, but through my eyes. His gaze went into me and settled solidly in my chest, as if he had both his hands inside me, feeling the shape of my lungs, the movement of my heart, the heat of my anger, the pattern of the storm that thundered inside me. He leaned forward, and his lips brushed my ear. I felt his breath. He spoke, and the storm stilled. I found a place to land. There is a game all children try at some time or another. You fling out your arms and spin round and round, watching as the world blurs. First you are disoriented, but if you continue to spin long enough, the world resolves itself, and you are no longer dizzy as you spin with the world blurring around you. Then you stop, and the world lurches into regular shape. The dizziness strikes you like a thunderclap. Everything lurches, moves, the world tilts around you. That is what happened when Elodin stilled the storm in my head. Suddenly, violently dizzy, I cried out and raised my hands to keep myself from falling sideways, falling upward, falling inward. I felt arms catch me as my feet tangled in the stool, and I began to topple to the floor. It was terrifying, but it faded. By the time I recovered, Elodin was gone.